sweet. It's always wonderful to see those children going out to children's church. It's been a while since we witnessed that, but we're thankful for all of you workers that have stepped up to teach our children and to see them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and come to faith in Him, hopefully at an early age, and grow in preparation for God's calling and purposes for their lives. We're so glad that you could be with us this morning. It's just a delight to have everyone here. And I want to give special recognition. This morning we have Alexi is with us. And Alexi, yeah. So I always like blow the cover, but Alexi, you may want to show them what's on your finger there. So we want to congratulate you at the at your engagement. So, and I know that the church body will be praying for you. I know that they will do that and pray for your upcoming marriage. So, and I thought you were only kidding when you said you were going to come back from Kansas City to visit us from time to time. But here she is. And so, so thank you for being with us, for coming. This morning, I want to go to our study in Romans there, in 31 through 39. I'm just going to read it this morning. And the elders have suggested, they've asked me to kind of sum up some things and address some things in regard to the relation of the Holy Spirit and some issues that I believe is needful for us in these days. So let me read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to address something that's not going to be verse by verse this morning, but it's going to be topical in regard to the nature of our relationship with the Holy Spirit and His ministry to us. So beginning in verse 31, let's read to the end of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word, and let me pray for us. Father, thank You for Your word and for this day that You've given to us, and Lord, for the sweet time that we had to sing praise to You, and that the word of Christ through music and through songs and hymns and spiritual songs dwell richly within our hearts, Lord, and as we speak praise to You and thanksgiving and offer up the sacrifice of the praise of our lips. Lord, we need You, and we need this time in the expression of worship to You. And we ask, Lord God, for the working of Your Holy Spirit in each of our hearts and lives this morning as we look into the things in Your word that may be needful for us as Your people. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to just address this kind of interesting thing here that we've come to. Remember that we've looked through chapter 8 at the ministry of the Holy Spirit to believers. And we found in verses 18, and we've addressed this topic that we must consider the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And we looked at that glory. And surely as we look at verses 31 to the end, we see further that glory that God has planned for us. But we also acknowledge and recognize that there's this suffering of the present time and this anxious longing that we have for what will be the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the beginning of that glory that God has planned for us. But we're in this futility, and there's this anxious longing that we have eagerly awaiting the revealing of the sons of God. And the Apostle Paul is comforting believers here. And I believe that we're in a day and a time when we need to acknowledge that Jesus has told us that we will suffer persecution, that we'll suffer trial and hardship in this world. And he has here in verse 36, "For thy sake we are being put to death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." But in the midst of that, God is saying, there's glory, there's future glory. And along with that is this ministry of God's Holy Spirit. And I say this, and we felt the need and the necessity for this particular message. And I know with Guy's message this morning, it talks about the burden that the prophet had. And there really is a burden that you have in teaching God's word. But there's so much information and misinformation. And just speaking with Guy a moment ago, he said, you can't put these things together. And Daniel couldn't put the things together as far as prophetically what's happening. And there were these days where in the Old Testament where there were dependence upon prophets. And there were a lot of things. It's always been the same as these things unfold. But I had this this video for you. I wanted to show it to you to make a point this morning.
Does it have audio?
Yes. Oh, it doesn't have audio.
Yeah.
Okay, can it go through the mic?
We're not seeing anything on the screen either.
Yeah, I'm going with the screen here, and I can't seem to. To get my volume. Okay. I can't get volume from my computer for some reason. Can you give it through the
Have you started playing?
Yes. Okay, well, let me just tell you what's taking place here. We have... Okay.
It's always supposed to just work, right?
Yeah.
Where's your mouse? you can get over there.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, there we go.
Oh, there's the mouse. I saw it. There it is. Somebody see sound somewhere on there?
Right there, right where you're at.
There we go. All right. Anything? Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nope. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. We should have taken care of that before the service, huh? What I have on the video there is a series of prophets that prophesied in regard to the last election that took place. And yes, it is laughable. And as it turns out, they're false prophets. And how do we know they're false prophets? Well, what they prophesied and what they said was not in accordance with what took place, what happened. And so it's a very serious thing when someone says, God told me, or this is the word that God gave to me to speak. That's a very serious thing. Very serious when it doesn't take place. I do remember watching a number of prophets that proclaimed that that Trump would be elected and that that there was going to be an overthrow of the delegates and that kind of thing. I remember in particular right after November, 4th, that there was a prophet that said, in particular, that from Philadelphia, the place, the birth of our Constitution, that God was raising up, and this was the word that God had given to them, and that they would overthrow the things that unfolded. The point is that we don't know the things that God is doing. And these prophecies, I remember hearing this prophet say, well, it's going to come up through Philadelphia and there will be a reversal of how the elections turned out. And so I said, well, that's easy enough because he predicted a date. And I said, well, we'll see if that actually is the case. And all you have to do is wait and see. But the serious nature of it is that they claim to be speaking from the perspective of God, that giving God's word to God's people. What we do find is that there are there's just a lot of misinformation taking place with these false prophets. I wish that I could have played the clips for you because you actually hear the and it's very arrogant because it's pretended spirituality, and there's a difference between the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we've looked at in Romans chapter 8 and how the ministry of the Holy Spirit to illuminate truth from God's word is given to us, and the idea that there is a kind of special spirituality where there's a direct word that comes from God, which is basically revelation of new truth. And at Grace Bible Church, we're cessationist. We believe that sign gifts were given for a specific purpose, for authentication and for what God is doing. And we believe that the canon of the scripture was given, the revelation of God, the mind of Christ is given to us from the word, and illumination in regard to that truth is our guidance. And all of these things I'm saying because we've looked at how the Holy Spirit, we do not know what the will of God is, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So this morning I wanted to just address this idea of that intercession. But I would make the point that the misinformation and information that's coming out and that you're barraged with is disturbing. And what we want most of all is for this perspective that the Apostle Paul's giving to us in chapter 8, that God has this future plan and he's unfolding things. And as we look at the fulfillment of prophecy, the things that God is doing, Christianity, true Christianity is about faith in knowing that God's in charge. In other words, as Guy was pointing out this morning, you know, as we were looking at the history of the events that took place in the intertestamental period, that under the rule of the Greeks, the Septuagint was written and the word of God was spread through the kingdom. But also there was that preparation right in the time of the age of the Gentiles when these big empires and powers were coming up. And this misinformation, while all of these things were coming together for the age of the Gentiles and many tumultuous things and disturbing things and things that they did not understand. But in the midst of it, God was preparing the Greek language for the translation of the New Testament for you and for me. And then as the Roman Empire came about, there was the establishment of the law and for the spread of the gospel for the Apostle Paul to be able to travel these Roman roads and others to spread the gospel. All of these things were orchestrated by the hand of a sovereign and almighty God. And so as we see things today, and we do not know what the will of God is in regard to elections, what's happening with our country, and there's many things that are disturbing. And I just heard where the senators there in Arizona, I'm so sorry about my voice, but the senators there in Arizona have overthrown. They say there's enough here fraud that took place in this election that it can be recalled. So that's fresh and that's new. It's not anything unexpected, but there's just a lot of stuff that's going on in our country that's disturbing. Along with false prophets, there at my very own seminary, we see the seminary complying with critical race theory and basically liberation theology or social justice, which is just, it's so bizarre that all of these things are taking place and unfolding and happening. So you're hearing different things from pastors. There, some of them are spouting mystical mumbo jumbo, and then some are saying nothing at all, and many are complying with critical race theory is just Marxist. It's communism, and it's disturbing to see these things, and we don't know how things are going to turn, and so. But what do we do, and how different is it as we look like at the Assyrians? The Assyrians planted people from other nations into Israel, and they combined these races and these tribes and these nations and people. And they've always worked that way, the age of the Gentiles and in that quest for a one world or a kind of global rule of mankind over the world. It's part of the satanic thing that has always been taking place. So what do we do when there's satanic deception and global confusion and lawlessness subverting our country, our seminaries, and our even our churches? And how is it that you as God's people can maintain some poise and peace through times like this? But we found many times, so we studied the book of Habakkuk, not that so many years ago. In the book of Habakkuk, there were these disturbing things that were happening. And what did God tell Habakkuk? That my hand is at work. He's sovereignly and providentially orchestrating these things to bring about what God will bring about. And so we have all of these things going. And so how do we know the will of God in regard to things not specifically prescribed in God's word? And again, visiting with guys saying, you know, it's hard to put these things together. We don't know, and we want to know what's going on and what's going to happen, and we want to have some prophet come along and tell us that, oh, well, the election's going to turn and this fraud's going to be dealt with and that kind of thing. But some of you may be called to service like on a local school board or state senator or representative. Who knows what God might do? But I think we should pray for people that are godly and that would represent well. And you know, but how do you make a decision that, hey, God's calling me to be a state senator or a state representative or to go on the school board and to engage in these ways? There's a lot of questions. So one of the things that we must consider is where's the Lord when we do not see him and we can't even feel his presence in times where there's so much confusion going on? And what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how does he work in regard to such things in our lives? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says that, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. One thing that the heart of the elders is that at Grace Bible Church, we know that joy. The Lord Jesus prayed that we would have abundant joy. And he also prayed that we would have peace. In fact, one of the things that he taught there in John chapter 14 is that I send to you another comforter, one that's going to help you through these times of trial and the difficult things that are going to unfold. And that comforter is going to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit is there. There's been many dangerous times in human history, and it's sad to see God's people mixed up about things and making wrong decisions in regard to social justice and some of the promotion of things that are so actually harmful and unscriptural. How do we move forward with poise? I'm thankful that at Grace Bible Church, we have the cultural impact team of people that work to inform us about things, and I think that we should as believers. And then we have a preparation piece. There's a preparation for difficult times, and so you plan for things, but we don't know what's going to take place and what's unfolding. So let's consider for a few minutes here the Holy Spirit's intercession and the will of God and how we make our way with both the poise and peace that God would have for his people and knowing what God wants us to know. But know this one thing, this significant thing, and the thing that's so important for us is that is that we know that God is in charge, that God knows exactly what he's doing, that God is a just judge that will bring about the things that he has told us are going to take place. He's not out of control. And we can trust that he has our best in mind. All these things are working together for good, as we studied and learned about here in Romans chapter 8. But the Holy Spirit's intercession, you know, again, going to Romans 8, 26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. And we feel and know our weakness here and these things. God, where are you and where's your presence? We find here that the Comforter that was sent to us is to help our weakness, the frailty of our human flesh. For we do not know how or what to pray. I believe it should be best translated, what to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what's best to unfold and what's best to happen with things, though we would stand for righteousness, and we understand that we're to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, so we can expect those things. We do not know what to pray as we ought to pray or as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So the Spirit of God is given to you, and Jesus said, I'm going to send you this Comforter, and he's always to be with you. He's always there, and he's always there to comfort you, but also to intercede on your behalf. He stands there for you with groanings too deep for words, and that means they're unspeakable, unutterable. I mean, we can't even express because we don't know. But the Spirit of God knows, and he who speaks searches the hearts, and he knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that awesome? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that Jesus Christ gave you, is interceding for you in accordance with the will of God. The will of God is what we don't know. You know, I mean, we look at these prophecies and we consider these things and we find, I don't know what's going to happen. Just like Daniel, you know, Daniel, he had these incredible prophecies and was given insight into things about the end of the world. And he said, what does all this mean? But the Spirit of God intercedes for us in regard to what God's will is for us. And remember that Paul prays that our God would count you and consider you worthy of your calling. And don't ever forget that God has called you in a special time, in a special way, for just such a time as this, for the fulfillment of his will. And Jesus taught us that it was his sole purpose to fulfill the will of God. My meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. I do always the things which please him. And so Paul prays that God would count us worthy of that calling and that with an every fullness of goodness, of good things, and the work of faith with power would be given to you, granted to you, in the fulfillment of what God called you and put you here for. And so whatever's unfolding as far as the end time events, and we know that I mean, how could it not be that it's, I mean, we know that we're growing closer to the time of the return of Christ. We know that we're growing closer to a time when the Scripture, and we looked at these prophecies and considered as we see this global rebellion against God and these things, events that are coming together globally in rebellion against God and against Christ Jesus, that these things are drawing near. But we don't know when they're going to happen. In other words, a lot of people thought when Germany was conquering the world that, well, of course, Hitler is the Antichrist, and these things are happening because it looked that way. But as it turns out, he wasn't. But we didn't know. People did not know. But we did know to resist Hitler, to resist that move toward globalism. And fortunately, there was reaction, and it was delayed. Well, that's the same thing with us as God's people. We don't know how and when these events are going to unfold and take place. But we do know that we're to stand for righteousness' sake and to represent Jesus Christ and to fulfill the calling that he's given to us in this day and time. And so, well, how do we know that? Well, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He's going to direct our steps. And there's the matter of faith with God's power that is given to us in regard to that calling that is necessary and needful for us. So I think we see some instruction from our Lord Jesus with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, go over there and watch and pray. Be vigilant, watch and pray. Well, why was Jesus instructing them to watch and pray? Because things were happening that were big and that were going to challenge them and test them in a very difficult way. And so what's the solution? Well, prayer and watching and praying in accordance with God's word and in accordance with that intercession of the work of the Spirit in God's people is necessary for us. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find strength and the power of faith in our God for the times that he calls us to. We find that intercession that the Holy Spirit, he's groaning for you at a time in prayer. And we're not dealing with it in the energies of the flesh. We're not fearful because God is in control. He's in charge and he knows what he's doing. And he knows what he called you for. And what he called you for, he's able to do in and through you. And he's able to help us in these days to know and to move. And I'm glad we have preparation peace, because we know that difficult things are happening in this nation, and it's likely that we're going to suffer some very challenging and difficult things in the future, barring the Lord's return. So it's good to do that. It's good to prepare and to look in those things, but not with fear and not with anything other than complete dependence upon the Lord and the knowledge that it is God that is our salvation. He's the one that gives us the peace. He's the one that will give us the strength. He's the one that will do what he called us for. So our part is, though, to pray and to draw near to him and to see God for who he is. He's not out of control. These things do not happen in such a way. He just moves them with his sovereign hand. That unseen hand is always working. And you say, well, I don't like the way it's working right now. Well, trust the Lord your God. Trust that he is dealing justly. We know that he's a just God. We know that he's righteous. And which brings us to the fact that, hey, we may need to come to some serious repentance. To go before God and repent of things, and I certainly repented of the cultural revolution that took place in the 60s as I was growing up, and I took part of, and God disciplined, and you know, there are times when we need as God's people to repent. But once things are right with our Lord, with our God, then we can rest in him and trust in him and know that he's going to bear us through. It's an honor to be tested in such a way that in very difficult circumstances you may glorify your Lord and God. That present suffering has behind it an eternal weight of glory that is in Christ Jesus. As we, so that we may glorify our Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, is what God's word says. So as we consider this intercession of the Holy Spirit, there's that struggle of the Spirit and the flesh, And we see this in Scripture. Here's Simon Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So what did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit gave illumination of the truth of who Jesus was, both by the prophecy and by his working. He came to understand. And Jesus is saying that my Father made this known to you. You're not going to know that in your flesh, okay? So here we have an example of the Spirit, but notice what happens, and it's in the context. The next thing that unfolds in Scripture there is that from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. So what's happened here? Here we see Peter let's give him credit here, because Peter is looking at the Scripture from what his understanding about what the Messiah is to do. The Messiah is to reign over Israel, over all the earth. He is to conquer. And Peter and the disciples are looking, you know, put my sons on your right and left hand side in your rule and your kingdom. And they're looking forward to that kingdom, and it doesn't fit what they know from Scripture at the time. So, but they don't know what the will of God is. It's a situation where, and Peter's, you know, he's looking at things and looking at Scripture even. And he's looking at what the prophecies had to say about the Messiah. So he said, this can't happen, you know. And he's basing it on his understanding of Scripture. But what does Jesus tell him? That you're setting your interest on mankind and on man's interest, and not on God's interest. And so that's the rebuke. And it's very easy for us to do that. So how do we not do that? Well, we watch and we pray. And we're careful about what we say about what God said. And speaking on his behalf, we need to be careful with our words and what we're saying, especially in regard to what is unfolding and in making these decisions. It's been the terrible thing that's happened with those that have been pre-trib for in their view of prophetic events for years, is that they take certain things that happen out of the newspapers and say, well, this is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Well, it wasn't the fulfillment of that prophecy. But it's, things that are signs maybe or wonders, but we jump to those conclusions and we dishonor the Lord because we say and do those things. And it's one thing I really appreciate about the pre-trib conference. The ones that are in charge are very careful about that type of thing in Bible prophecy. We have to wait. We have to watch and we have to see what unfolds. And it's okay to be to know that God is in control. He's in charge. His hands are working these events just as he told us in Bible prophecy. But we want to be careful that our flesh is not in the way about these events that take place and unfold. So moving on then, let's see. The Holy Spirit ministers direction and peace in our trials. The Holy Spirit gives us those things. He works those things in it. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Now notice what it's saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because this is the same thing that Paul has taught us, is that the spirit of a man knows what's going on. In other words, you all have barriers and I have barriers, and there's a lot of things that we hide from one another, and there are things that are the spirit inside of us knows about us, but nobody else knows. And that spirit of man knows that which is in him. You know those secret things that you don't want anybody here at church to know about. And God knows them, but nobody else knows them. But even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. So who knows the thoughts of the Father? Well, the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of the Father. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, and not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Okay, the Word of God is that objective, absolute truth that we may embrace and know. We can know of a certainty that these events are unfolding. We can know of a certainty that there's going to be the judgment of the nations, that there's going to be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know these things because the Spirit of God tells us that His Word is true, and it's been communicated. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. They communicated God's revelation to us through Scripture, through His given Word to us. So what can we know? We can know of a certainty the truth of God's Word, the spiritual thoughts and the spiritual words that are there. That means that we can have a biblical worldview about things. We can have a biblical worldview about the things that are unfolding in life. We can't know the plan that God is working and things that are unfolding, but the Spirit of God knows, and He will communicate through His Word the things that are necessary for us, the things that He has given to us. So what does it say? It says that we may know the things freely given to us by God, the things that He's revealed to us. These are the things that God wants you to know in the fulfillment of His will and His calling for your life. So where do we go? We go with God's Holy Spirit to God's Word. We abide in His Word. So moving on then, we look at this direction and peace that's given through our tithes. The thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit illuminates the spiritual truth from God's Word. He gives to us light. The Spirit of God is doing that. He's there to comfort us. He's there to enlighten us to truth. And it says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. It's good to know that God, the Holy Spirit, will guide us unto all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will disclose to you what is to come. He knows the Father. That Spirit that's in man, that knows what's secretly going on inside of man, the secret plans of man, the Holy Spirit knows what's in the Father, and He communicates and guides us in times of prayer through the Word, the spoken Word that has been given to us in regard to those things revealed. So then we come to the next slide. Let me make the point. He guides us into all truth. Illumination provides perception and application of the Scripture. The application of what it means to live, to order our steps in God's Word, to hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. The perception and the application of those things. So when that passage of Scripture that He would count us worthy of our calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, the application of the truth of God's Word is orchestrated in us, not by our own strength, not by the energy of the flesh, but by the power of God's Spirit working within us. And that's the passage that we've looked at. We perceive truth and we apply the truth to our life with power because God does it in and through us. The work of faith is done with God's power. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think through that Spirit that works in us. We labor striving according to His Spirit, which mightily works within us, the things which we can't do in the strength or the energy of the flesh or the wisdom of our own minds. But by the power of God, He is our Savior and will work those things within us. And then the Holy Spirit is understanding the will of God is a twofold process. It involves abiding in God's word and a divine enablement that comes with the illumination of that spiritual truth by the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will illuminate that truth to us. And so prayer should always be associated with God's word. In fact, when you open God's word to read it, to study it, and to meditate on it, to memorize it, you always should ask by faith, God, fill me with your Spirit. Enable me. Give me and grant to me that illumination and enlightenment that comes only by your Spirit in and through your word. And God will give it to you. You do it by faith. You know, you say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to understand these things. We confess our sins. We're right in right fellowship and relationship with God, and he opens himself to us. So where is God? Well, he's right there. He's there in his word, and we abide in him. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. So he's there, he's present, he hears you, and you can know by faith that this Holy Spirit is there doing that work within God's people. It's a wonderful thing. So let's look then at the Holy Spirit. A number of points here. The Holy Spirit establishes our faith upon the attributes, character, integrity, and Word of God. The Word of God has to do with God's integrity. If he said it, it's going to be done. That's why a false prophet is so serious. These guys, you know, and I've heard some of them, they get on, they're on the internet, and they say, I'm sorry that, you know, that my prophecy was wrong. And it's like, man, don't you understand when you say that you're speaking God's will, his word, how serious that is? It's serious business. It's serious business to teach the scripture, God's word, because there's always that misstep that you can take and say what is not in scripture. That's why we go verse by verse and we look into the scripture and we're it's never my intention to say what I want to say. It's always my intention in the study of the scripture and the long hours that I spend there, you as well, Guy, it gets long and hard, but there's a responsibility when we speak the word of God. And the scripture tells us that we're to speak as though it's the very word of God. And that's not just for me, that's for you as well. That the thing we're to guard, our yea is to be yea, our nay is to be nay. And we're to speak truth and pray that we speak truth. And the Spirit of God will speak that truth, recall that truth, and speak truth through you. That's your purpose, the very purpose. But it involves God's character. God's truth is never relative truth. It's not this for you and this for me. It's God's truth and it's absolute. It is true. You know, or it's not. And the false prophet, it's not. It's not true. God did not say those things. And it's very serious. I gave to you a paper on false prophets. And it has to do with what Jeremiah, some of the, was said in regard to the prophets. The false prophets are always feeding people what they want to hear. They're usually stepping out because there's some accolades that they feel or experience from being able to be above on some kind of spiritual plane to give people things that gives them the pat on the back or something. And for many of them, many of the false prophets today and the things going on in the church, it's about prosperity theology. It's about getting rich, and there's just greed. And it's very, very serious. It's more than just saying, I'm sorry. There should be repentance from a false prophet. And we pray that they would repent and call upon the Lord God and repent of their ways. So because they're disturbing the church, and we don't want you disturbed in regard to these things that are happening. And our faith is established upon the attributes, the character of who God is. The Holy Spirit is Next, establishes our faith in faith. Let's see. Let me get back to my notes here. Yes, faith should not be based upon human impressions, experience, or probabilities. Isn't that what we do? We go and say, well, what's the... We start to move, and we say, well, what's the probability of this happening? And are we take these impressions and live by impressions or some experience. We live off experience. But faith is not a feeling. It's a trust in the character and the person of God and the nature of his integrity in speaking truth to us. It's faith in those things, and it's solid. It is building our lives on the rock. It's his word is a solid ground for us. So when the winds come and the storm comes, we're on firm foundation. Okay, so the Holy Spirit enables us to do God's will, but if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. So the flesh wars against the spirit, right? And the flesh is going to often win. But by faith, this spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies, and he does that work in and through us. The Spirit of God and quick not only gives us the perception of truth, but he enables us to accomplish that truth by his power. And he works within us, that spirit that is dwelling with us forever. And it's our confidence. It should give you peace to know that, boy, this living the Christian life is not simply something that I can drum up or manufacture out of my own strength or my own wisdom or my own ability. It is something that when I in brokenness go to God and cry out to him, God in his mercy works salvation, his power in my life. That's the nature of it, isn't it? We die to self and the life of God is manifested within us. That's living the Christian life. That's fulfilling the calling that God has given to us. And there's comfort in it. Comfort in knowing the Lord in such ways. Okay? And then it liberates us. The Holy Spirit liberates us from sin and death. We found that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Doesn't rule us. It doesn't rule us because the Spirit of God is there. And he's able to do in and through us what we can't do in the strength or energy of our flesh. And so Paul's, and he engages that. He gives us, gives it to us in chapter 7, verses 21. That principle, I find this principle in me that when I would do that which is good, I find that which is evil is present in me. And that battle takes place, but through prayer and through this association by faith in the Holy Spirit and the power of God working in us, laboring, striving according to his power, which mightily works within us, we can know that freedom from sin and death. The Holy Spirit gives life and peace to us, for the mind set upon the flesh is death, but the mind set upon the Spirit is life and peace. Do you have peace this morning? I mean, our church body, there's a lot of things going on. There are many trials that our people are going through. And there are different trials. There are different things, different challenges. But it's so easy for that peace to be gone. So easy for it to, you know, where is the Lord? And to know that feeling. And I know that we all feel that. We all, you know, live with that. You know, he's not here. We don't see him face to face. But God is there and his spirit is given to us that we may know his presence, that we may know this life and peace, for the mind set upon the flesh is death. Set your mind on the Spirit of God and the life and peace that he alone can give to us. And then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is to set your mind and desire on the things of the Spirit, Okay, so this setting our mind is a significant thing. It's pretty important according to what we've learned about the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. It is true what was declared by Miles Stanford. He says, every Christian will become at last what his desires have made him. And there's a wonderful passage. The eternal God is your refuge. He's your dwelling place. He's your hiding place. And underneath are his everlasting arms. Do you know that God's everlasting arms are underneath you this morning? That God is doing what only God can do. Let me just say this, and I know that Pastor Heidemann shared this psalm with us a while back, Psalm 37. But the Lord says, do not fret because of evildoers. They will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And so we look at these things that are happening in our country, and it bothers us because there's fraud that took place. And there was an election that was stolen. Okay? So we see these things, but the scripture says that evildoers will be cut off. The Lord loves justice, and the wicked will be cut off. Transgressors will altogether be destroyed. I know this is contextually with, but this is a principle in scripture that is said it is true, and we can trust in it. Though the scripture also says that we're to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's God's word. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We can lean not into our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct our steps. He'll direct our paths. God will keep you in perfect peace, everyone whose mind is stayed upon him. And bask in the reality that you are being held by the everlasting arms of our Lord and God through every time, through every trial, through every circumstance. God is there, and he has not been silent, but he's spoken to us the things that we need to know. But the thing that we need to know most of all is that God is in control. He's in charge. He knows what he's doing. He's just, and we may trust him. And so this morning, let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your gracious mercies to us. Fill us up with the knowledge of your will and spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we may walk in a manner worthy of you and fulfill that calling that you've given to us. And may we please you in every respect, for we want to follow after our Lord Jesus and do always the things that are pleasing to you, our Heavenly Father. Give us the appetite that we may hunger for your word. May we bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of who you are, and strengthen us with all power according to your glorious might. For the glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, give to us all the steadfastness and patience that is needed to live a godly and fruitful life in these dark days that are ahead. For his glory, may we know his peace, which passes all understanding. For in this, the world, and in our church, Lord, there are dear people that are afflicted with difficult trials. Hold them, Lord. Hold them fast in your everlasting arms. For you are our eternal refuge, and may we be mindful that as we redeem the time in these evil days, that we are more than victors in Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through you, our God. So let us know your victory by faith, and may we embrace every challenge to our faith with joy and expectation. Count us worthy of our calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with your mighty power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified.